CIB. From Australian police records come these true stories of day and night vigilance that protects our lives and our property, of prevention and detection in the unceasing war against crime. CIB. From Northern Australia, the true story of the men who like music. This is a true story from Australian police records. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. The story of a crime of violence is always a story of abnormality. Men or women who commit crimes of violence are human beings with a twist. But sometimes the twist assumes fantastic, almost incredible proportions. And so it was with the story of the men who liked music. A story that began one breathless evening in the wet season in a small town in northern Australia. Two young men aged 19 and 20 were in the local music shop playing classical recordings.
Thank you, Mrs. Bemmels. Thank you so much.
Oh, it is nothing. I'm glad you boys enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thank you.
It is so good to come here to the Harmony House and hear of the good music.
Oh, hear good music, Leon. Not hear of the good music. You must work to learn English. Yes, both of you. Then you'd make more friends and not be so lonely, huh?
Yes. But it is so good to have you and Mr. Bemmels for friends. You are kind. You do not forbid.
Forbid? Forbid what?
Forbid to place the records, Leon means. We do not buy, only we listen. Huh?
Oh, come now. That doesn't matter. Herman and I, we are fond of good music, too. It's nice to be able to play it instead of the jazz. Come as often as you wish. Yeah, welcome in this shop always.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Soon you boys will be much happier here, much happier. You will learn to speak good English. You will get good jobs and settle down. Then you will come and buy records from us for your own gramophone, huh?
Yes, we hope it.
Now, unless you would like to play something else, would you like to come to the house and have a cup of good coffee? Herman is going to shut the shop now. Herman!
Yeah, what is it?
Are you ready now? Shall we go home?
Yeah, I'm coming.
I've asked the boys to have coffee with us.
Good. I'm coming.
No, please to excuse. Not tonight. Rudy and me, we go now. Please to excuse. Rudy.
Yeah, please. We must go. But tomorrow, we come again, eh? Please?
Why, of course. So, you've met a couple of girls, huh?
No, it is not true.
Well, I did not wish to...
No matter, it's nothing. A joke. Now, good night, eh? Rudy, come.
Yeah, good night. Tomorrow.
Good night, Rudy. Good night, Leon. Well.
Now I am ready. There are the boys, Frieda.
They have gone.
Gone? Why?
Ah, poor lads. So lonely.
What is wrong?
Nothing. I joked to them about taking girls to the pictures, that is all. They thought I was teasing them. Ah, poor lads.
Poor lads? Well, maybe. But they are lucky. Lucky to have come to this country. Pity the ones at home who did not have the chance.
Yes. But they are nice boys. So gentle. So fond of good music.
Did you see the car?
Yes.
There. It went to the rank.
Do you know the man driving it?
No.
Are you sure?
Of course I am sure.
Good. That will be easier. What is wrong with you? Afraid?
No. Yes. Perhaps I am afraid.
It is this. You stay here always. Always.
Yes, Rudy, I know.
Then stop whining.
I'm not. Look. There it is. God.
Yes. It is a big, beautiful car. Hey.
Yes. It will go. Come on. Excuse, please.
Gosh, you gave me a start. I must have been dropping off.
This taxi car, is this?
Yeah, I'm a taxi. Jerry Inglis. Everybody knows me. You want to go somewhere?
Please.
Okay, just what I'm here for. Hop in.
And my friend?
Sure. The more the merrier. Where do you want to go, sport?
Please?
Where to? Where are you going?
Compring? To meet this friend on the road, Balan Creek. You can go?
Balan Creek? Oh, sure, it's only 20 miles. I'll drive you to Melbourne if you got the time.
Please?
Never mind. Are you chaps down speaking English too good, eh? Well, skip it. Go on, hop in. You both want to ride in the back?
I go and sit back. My friend in front.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be a dirty old night, if you ask me. There she goes. Yeah, wouldn't be surprised if she blew up a cockeyed bob. Listen, sport. When we get to Balan Creek, will I wait for you? Or do I come back to town?
Me wait? Or... come back.
Come back. We meet friend. We stay.
Okie doke. Suits me fine. If I can get back before the pictures come out, I might pick up a couple more fares.
You back soon. Very soon.
Before pictures.
You hurry.
Been in Australia long, mate?
1 year I come. Long time.
don't you worry. After 40 years, you'll get to like the place, you see. You'll be right. Hey, what about your cobber in the back? Is he a brand new Australian too?
Your friend. Long time?
1 year and one half.
Christ, he's an old timer. Well, never mind, you'll settle down. As soon as you learn the language good, you'll be apples. You know, it's a good country, really. Plenty of room for everybody and a chance to make a decent living. Nobody pushing you around. Oh, it's a bit tough for a start. Or it might seem like it. But you'll see.
Please, you stop.
Huh? Stop? Sure. Yeah, half a tick and I'll pull over the other side of the culvert. Hey,
what are you doing? Here, help me.
Is he dead? Did he kill him?
I don't know. Help me. Get him out. He's not dead. He's not dead. No. Make sure. Take his arms. I will take his neck.
Yes. Be quick. Into the bushes.
There. This will do.
Listen! Listen!
Listen to what?
It is a car coming. A truck.
There is no car coming.
Quick.
We must go.
Perhaps he has money.
There is a car that is. Oh, quick, Rudy. I beg you, be quick.
All right. Come.
You drive now.
Yeah. Move over. Beautiful car. I know a man in Melbourne who will buy it. And then...
and then...
home. No more of this wilderness. No more of these stupid savages. Music! Music! Music!
Yes, Mrs. Inglis. Yes, we'll certainly do that. I'll tell Sergeant Whittle as soon as he comes in. Surely we'll do that. I wouldn't worry too much. There's probably some quite simple explanation. Yes. We'll certainly do that. Goodbye.
Well, what were you going to tell me, Rod?
Oh, hi, Sergeant. I didn't see you come in. It was Jerry Inglis's wife.
Yeah, has he turned up then?
No, I'm afraid he hasn't.
Hasn't he, by Jove? Yeah, I'm beginning to get a bit worried about it myself. He's a nice chap, Jerry Inglis.
He could have had a breakdown somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Could have, I suppose. But it's getting on for 24 hours since he was sighted. He'd surely have got out to a phone by now.
Yes, I suppose so.
It's more likely he's had an accident. I'm inclined to think we'll have to do something about it, Rod.
Sure, Sergeant. I've been thinking that myself. But where do we start?
Look, I think I'd better run down and see Mrs. Inglis myself. It's just possible she knows something that she hasn't thought to tell us on the phone. I'll drop in at the taxi rank on my way back and see if the other drivers have found anything.
Okay. What do you want me to do?
Well, just for a starter... what about ringing the petrol stations down the road and see if anyone sighted him?
Right.
Start from Garnetville Crossing and work back.
Right, Sergeant. If nobody has spotted him down the road, well, I reckon it'll confine the area of the search a bit. There's not far you can go out of town in any other direction but south.
Okay, Rod. I'll see you later.
And so the search for the missing taxi and its driver began, with anxiety certainly, but with no anticipation of its tragic end. As Sergeant Whittle had foreseen, news of the car was picked up on the South Road. But in the meantime, the taxi man's many friends, he was an extremely popular man in the little town, were searching the road and the side tracks themselves. And then, 36 hours after Jerry Inglis's disappearance, an ashen-faced searcher, who'd followed what he considered suspicious tire tracks into the roadside scrub, came racing back.
Quick! Start her up! Jerry's down there.
What?
He's dead. He's been murdered.
Within minutes of the report of the finding of Jerry Inglis's body reaching the police, messages were on their way that spread a net across thousands of miles of the lonely north. Patrols in three states converged to check every southbound vehicle. The local police began methodically to gather together the first pieces of the grim jigsaw puzzle.
It was pretty obvious, really. Whoever did it probably shot him in the car, drove off the road, pulled the body out and dragged it into the scrub.
But why, Sergeant? The motive's got me beaten. And surely he couldn't have imagined he'd get away with it. This is a pretty hard part of the world to vanish in, particularly driving a big new car.
They always imagine they'll get away with it. He probably banked on reaching some big town down south before the body was discovered. If it had turned out that way, well, it mightn't have been such plain sailing for us.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Oh, well, stop worrying your brains about it, lad. Here's the hotel and the petrol station. Pull over and we'll see if we can find that young chap you spoke to on the phone.
Okay.
Good morning. Are you looking for someone?
You're Mr. Meekin?
That's right.
Well, my name's Cade, Constable Cade. I was speaking to you on the phone yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Line was fair rotten. Could hardly hear a word you said. Something about that big new green car on Monday night.
Yes. You said you served a new green car with petrol.
Yeah, that's right. Fill it up.
Do you remember what time?
Too right. It was just after 10. I'd been helping in the bar and I'd come out just after we'd closed.
Did you notice who was driving?
Well, not specially. There was a couple of young chaps. And new Australians, I reckon. Couldn't hardly speak English.
A couple, you say?
That's right. A fair bloke and a dark bloke. Hardly more than kids. I wouldn't swear to it, but I think the dark bloke was driving.
You didn't know them?
No. I never seen them before in my life.
Did anybody else see them?
Well, I don't reckon so. It was pretty dark, you know.
Oh, thanks. Mind if I go in and use your phone?
Oh, why no? You're welcome.
Thanks. It's urgent.
Phew, it's hot.
Yes.
Want me to give you a spell on the wheel?
After. I want to stop here. There's a chance they called in here. It's nearly 600 miles from home, and it's the last place they'd be able to pick up petrol before the turn-off to the border.
You're the police that were on the phone, are you?
That's correct, Mrs. Taylor.
Well, you sure pick out a good day for travelling.
Not much choice, Mrs. Taylor, I'm afraid. It's about the green car.
Green, was it?
Well, wasn't it?
Oh, it could have been. I'm not much good on blue and green. It was a big posh car, but...
You're sure of that?
Of course I'm sure.
Who was in it, do you know?
A couple of young fellows. I don't know their names. A couple of refos, I reckon. They didn't talk English too good.
I see. You don't know their names. But had you ever seen them before, Mrs. Taylor?
I'm sure I'd seen them before. They came through here hitchhiking about a year ago. Got dropped down at the gate. They were going to camp the night, but they got picked up by a truck.
What do they look like, Mrs. Taylor? Can you describe them?
One of them had fair hair, the other dark. Why? What have they done? What are you after them for?
Oh, just questioning. The car may have been stolen, but we don't know until we catch them up.
Oh, you won't have much chance of that. After I'd fixed them with petrol, they asked about the turn off to the border. Last time I saw them, they were driving like the wind, and that's a day ago.
Well, thanks very much, Mrs. Taylor. Mind if I use your phone?
You're welcome, if this sandstorm hasn't brought the line down.
And so it happened that later that afternoon, a uniformed constable of the Queensland Police Force went out along the thin ribbon of unsealed road that led out from the shabby little mining settlement of Mount Eleanor into the red, dusty heart of Australia. He drew into the scant shade of a clump of desert oaks and waited. Before long, the silence was broken by the hum of a high-powered car driven at speed from the west.
There she comes. Well, here's hoping.
All right, pull over.
Well, a bit of a hurry, eh?
What do you want?
Queensland Police. Name's Hargraves. Who are you two?
Name? Me. Me. George Vasily.
And your friend?
Him. He's Jan Vilanovich.
Oh, is that so, eh? Anything to identify yourselves?
No. Not speak English very good.
And you?
Not speak English very good.
But you can understand, eh?
Yes, a little.
Well, you listen carefully. This car answers the description of a car which was stolen. Understand? Stolen in the Northern Territory the day before yesterday. How do you account for being in it? Driving it. Well?
This morning, today, we are in the town.
Yes, go on.
We meet two men. They ask us, want to look at a good car. We say, yes. One man asked me, do you drive? I say yes. He say, all right, you drive. My friend and me, we get in the front seat. One man put gun in my neck. He say, you drive. I drive.
That true. That is true. Man put gun in back of my friend's neck.
Then what happened?
I drive along the road here. At creek, men say, stop. I stop. They get out. They say, keep driving.
I see. Well, then what happened?
I keep driving.
I see. Got any guns or other weapons on you? Or in the car?
No.
You mind if I search you? Well?
No.
That's better. You too, Mr. Vlanovich. Okay, nothing. Well, seeing you two have had a gun in the back of your necks, you won't mind coming back to Mount Eleanor Police Station with me while I make a few inquiries. Will you, eh? Well?
We'll come.
Yes. Yes, we come. Yes, it is better.
A few hours later, Constable Hargrave, still escorting the two men in the green car, met Detective Sergeant Hawksley of the Queensland CIB. And their questioning was continued in a car bound back to the town.
So you've both lost your alien registration certificates, eh?
Yes.
And you still say this story about the men forcing you to drive the car at gunpoint is true, eh?
Yes, it is true.
But how do you account for this? We know the two men answering your descriptions bought petrol from a service station this morning. Petrol for this car. And there weren't any other men in the car then. How do you account for that?
See, men stand on corner and keep look on us. They say if we tell police, they shoot.
I see. Well, Mr. Vasily, I'll just leave this thought with you. Three police are coming from the Northern Territory by aeroplane to examine this car. You understood when I told you that the owner of this car had been murdered, didn't you?
Yes, I understand.
You understand, too, that everything you've told us will be checked to see whether or not it is the truth? Everything?
Yes. Sergeant.
Yes?
It is true. The police come from Northern Territory by aeroplane?
Yes, they should be here this afternoon.
Today? They will be waiting for us?
That's right.
I think it is no good. Better I tell you the truth.
Much better.
Then I tell. I shot him, the man.
The driver of the car, Jerry English.
We do not know his name, but I shoot him.
I see. Very well. I'm going to ask you more questions, but I warn you, you're not obliged to answer or make any statements. Anything you say may be given in evidence. Do you understand?
I understand. I know. I tell the truth. I shoot driver with the rifle. We drag body on the road. We take car.
Why did you shoot him and take the car?
Me, my friend. We are unhappy here. We are worried. We cannot play music, nothing we like. We take car, Sydney, Melbourne, we sell maybe. Then we go home.
What are your correct names?
I am Rudy Konitsky. He, Leon Lubovich.
Lubovich. Lubovich, can you hear back there?
Oh, I think he's gone to sleep, Sergeant.
Bloodstains in the car, a piece of cord, bloodstained trousers and recovery of the rifle used by the killers, a dozen other items of evidence bore out their full confessions. They were tried and found guilty. in a statement from the dock, they both pleaded for another chance to become good Australians. They were sentenced to death, those music lovers, and the sentence was not commuted. Only names, place names and dates were altered in this true story. It was dramatized from Australian police records by Edward Dorking. And now this is Roland Strong saying goodbye until the same time next week. There will be another true story in this series, which is produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.